Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
Guys, I'm excited to be with you today. I'm excited for the word that I'm going to share with you today. You know, it is important, as we've been talking over the last 2 months, it's important that we allow the Lord to remake us. To transform us into a better version of ourselves. In computers, this is absolutely necessary. Operating systems go through continual updates and upgrades. Smartphones do the same. And they go through upgrades for a very simple reason, because they want to improve their performance. Sometimes it's a dramatic upgrade, a completely new operating system, but more often than not, it's a smaller upgrade. Smaller updates. Like computers, God wants to update and upgrade us. And it's not because you're a bad person, right? Look at the person and say, you're not bad, but you could be better, right? Right? It's not because we're bad people. I mean, I don't look here. I don't look around you and see hardened criminals and, you know, terribly bad people. And all of us have an assessment of ourselves that we're decent people. We're not, bad. But we all know that even though we're not bad people, we all know that there are improvements that we can make in our lives, right? From a 1.0, version 1.0, we need to do an upgrade to a version 2.0, right? And so that's kind of what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, as we've been focusing on the thought or the idea of transformation is, you know, going through the upgrades and the updates that God wants to do in your life. Because when you go through upgrades, when you go through updates, in a sense, what we're talking about is changing. We're talking about transformation. And we all love upgrades. So you go to rent a car, and you reserved a compact. And of course, you know that reservations mean nothing in the car rental industry, right? That doesn't mean anything. Whatever you reserve, I don't know. All we know is that we don't have your car reserved. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you an upgrade from a compact to a sporty sedan. Yeah, praise the Lord. Right? We're going to give you. So we all love upgrades. And you get a dinner somewhere, we're going to upgrade your meal because of what you've gone through. Okay? You go for your car, and it's time to choose the seats. And in this new version, we've upgraded the suspension. We've upgraded the seats. Now they're leather seats. We all love upgrades. Well, listen. I think it's something that it's intuitive within the heart and the soul of every person that we love upgrades. And now the thing is, how do we apply our love for upgrades into our own heart, into our own lives? How can I cooperate with God so that I can become the better version that God wants to bring out in me? See, because there is a better version in you. Look at the person they said, there's a better version of you. And God wants to bring it out. Come on, tell him. Hey, you're looking at me. No, don't look at me. Look at the person. So there's a better version of you that God is looking to bring out, right? Now think about this, because when we talk about this, why is this important? Because here's where people get confused. People get confused as to what the meaning of life is. Why am I here? Why did God place me here? Why did God place me in this family? Why am I in the city of Miami? And though I may not know the exact specifics, if you look through the Bible is very clear about what the purpose of life is. And in fact, the Bible will outline various purposes and various reasons for the meaning of life. And one of them, I want you to look with me, and I want you to write notes today. I didn't have the outline printed out today, but I want to see pen in hand, or at least notes. I better not catch you texting or playing a Nintendo Game Boy. What is that? I don't know, someone playing something. Nintendo what? That's old school. That, you know, that's all right up there with MySpace. So take down some notes, because I want you just to jot down a couple of references. Check out this reference. This reference is going to really minister to you, because it says in Romans 8:29, it says, from the very beginning, here's what I want you to write as a reference, 8:29. It says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and God knew who was going to come to him. He says, he decided that they should become like his son. So what's God's purpose for your life aside from other purposes? One of the purposes that God has for you is that you need to become more like Christ, right? And Ephesians says something similar. In Ephesians, write this down, write this reference, Ephesians 4:15. It says, God wants us growing in every way more and more like Christ. What does that mean? That means that as you grow, as you submit yourself to God's improvement, to God's updating, to God's upgrading, that those upgrades are going to involve you developing the characteristics and the qualities of Jesus. So that you'll begin to think more like Jesus, you begin to act more like Jesus, you begin to see situations and see people from Jesus' point of view, you begin even to feel what Jesus feels, right? That's really what it means when we're talking about upgrades, is that God wants you to be more like Christ. He wants you to grow up, but as you grow more and more, he wants you to mature in your faith. Now, I know a lot of people, maybe not so many anymore, but I used to know a lot of people that grow older but never grow up. Ever met people like that? They grow older, but that, don't raise your hand. They grow older, but not necessarily more mature. They're not necessarily becoming better people. But see, in this Christian journey that we're on, God says, I want you to move from 1.0 version to 2.0. I want your operating system to become better, more efficient. I want you to become, I want you to perform more like Jesus would perform, right? So what it means is that as we go through upgrades, every upgrade should make us look a little bit more like Jesus. Not like Mike. Not like your favorite athlete. Not like your favorite singer or your favorite actor. Not like the President of the United States. Not like your best friend. Not like your teacher. Okay, now they may have certain characteristics that are worth imitating, but if anyone is worth imitating, it's Jesus. So I want to be not like Mike, I want to be like Jesus, right? And so, but here's what happens, is that when we embark on this process of being upgraded, on this process of being updated, we often encounter something called opposition. We've talked about that for the last 2 weeks, and we're not going to address it anymore, only from the standpoint is that when we encounter opposition, opposition is normal in our process for growing. Everybody begins with the idea that I want to improve myself. Everybody's excited about self-improvement. But all of a sudden, at the very moment when you commit to becoming a better person, God's version of you, God's better version, or God's best version of you, guess who else knows that? The enemy of your soul knows that. And so all of a sudden, the attacks come. And where do the attacks come from? Sometimes the attacks come from your own family, from your best friends, from your coworkers, from your schoolmates. People ridicule you. People make fun of you. There's maybe a passive sort of persecution that goes on. There's people that are mocking you. All of a sudden, that didn't take place. And the reason that didn't take place is that as long as you're like them, you're not threatened by them. But the minute you rise to the top, all of a sudden, everybody's eyes are on you, and they feel threatened by the fact that you're becoming a better person. So opposition is normal, and you need to understand that. And if you don't understand that opposition is normal, you will stop growing because you will think you're doing the wrong thing and continuing to try to change. And you will allow the threats, and you will allow the ridicule, and you will allow the good things that you want to produce in your life, you will allow that to stop simply because of the rejection that you're facing from the people around you, right? And they'll derail you and they'll prevent you from becoming that better version. Now, in Nehemiah, as we've looked at the book of Nehemiah, we've talked about how God used him at a very pivotal moment in time to reconstruct the walls of a city that had been destroyed. They had no protection. Nehemiah had this mission to reconstruct those walls, 33 sections at least, that they had to build around to secure. As long as the walls were not put up and were not secure, they lost their identity. They lost their protection. They lost their safety. They lost even their prosperity because raiding armies would come in and take from them and steal from them anything that they wanted, including taking their very families captive and kidnapped and bringing them into the human trafficking trade, right? Which is very common back then. Now, as you look at the book of Nehemiah, you see some key principles emerging that are essential for our growth. If you haven't written these down, go ahead and write these down. They all begin with the letter P, and we all found them in Nehemiah. The first one is to prioritize. We're not going to go through all of those. The second one is to pray. The third one, okay, would be to plan, develop a plan. All these are steps to change, right? Steps to transformation. The fourth one is to partner. Okay, and the fifth one we've talked about the last couple of weeks. The fifth one is prepare. Prepare what? Prepare for opposition. If you're not prepared for opposition, it will sideswipe you and it will knock you off your feet. You won't know what hit you, and the building of your life, the reconstruction, the transformation of your life will stop. And then today we look at the sixth principle that emerges from the pages of the book of Nehemiah, and I want you to write down purification. Purification. It's also in Nehemiah's narrative, and I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 4 for a moment. And whenever you think about remaking yourself, it always begins with excitement. Think of yourself as a home improvement project. Whenever you embark on a home improvement project, you're excited. Why? Because you saw the pictures and you want your kitchen to have this and you want it to have this countertop and you want it to have these type of appliances, or same thing for a bathroom, and you're out and you're excited, okay, because you have the big picture in mind and you keep focused on that big picture. But many times when you go through a remodeling, you're not prepared for what awaits. You're not prepared what? For the trash, for the demolition crew that needs to come in. You're not prepared to go over budget. I had $15,000 for this, but now I'm into the $25,000. Why? Because the plumbing needs to be redone. Because the wiring in the house is faulty. Because I can't get the inspection passed unless I install this and I install that. And all of a sudden, it's like, I can't believe we even got into this remodeling project. Whose idea was it? It was you. No, it was you. As you begin the infighting, why? Because you're not prepared for what the remodeling has in store. The demolition crew comes in. And what does the demolition crew do, man? They tear down walls. They tear down studs. They take down the sheetrock. They bring everything down. And all of a sudden, the garbage piles up. The dust is everywhere. We remodeled our bathroom recently, and there was dust everywhere. Dust everywhere for days. And it's like you're caught in this dust garbage black hole, because you're expecting the contractor to come and he's like, I can't make it today, I'll be there tomorrow. And then tomorrow he calls you and he tells you, I can't come today because I'm waiting for the inspection and I can't go from point A to point B until point B is taken care of. Or I can't go any further until the electrician comes. And the electrician, you call him and I can't get to you until next week. And then I can't do anything else until you call the plumber. And you call the plumber and he can't come for another 3 weeks. And the granite guy, you can't install anything until everything is set. And so everything is waiting and it's like, I'm caught in this purgatory of trash. I can't move forward. And something took place in the days of Nehemiah where you know, you feel overwhelmed. You're in this reconstruction project and you feel overwhelmed and you wonder if it's worth it. You say, I don't know if it's even going to be, you know, what's going to happen. But look at what happened in verse 10 of Nehemiah chapter 4. So look at what it says in verse 10 of Nehemiah 4. It says, meanwhile, the people in Judah, this is ready as people were had received certain responsibilities of repairing different sections of the wall and different gates around the city. It says, the strength of the laborers is giving out. We're getting tired. And there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Did you catch that? There's so much debris. There's so much garbage. Look at the person that you say, basura. That's the Spanish for garbage. There's so much basura. There's so much garbage that all of a sudden the people begin to feel the sense of being overwhelmed. And the construction has to stop. Because it says there, the problem with the rubble is that we cannot continue. We cannot rebuild the wall. We cannot rebuild our lives. We cannot become the better version, the 2.0 version of our lives, as long as the rubble stays, right? Now, here's what I want you to know about garbage and about rubble, is that there are external forces that attack you when you try to improve yourself. Okay? The devil doesn't want you to improve. The devil wants you to continue to stay in your addiction, stay in your dysfunction, stay in your drama, stay with the worldly attitudes. He's perfectly happy. Okay, and so when you decide you're going to change these things, okay, you're going to be attacked, often through other people, often through different circumstances. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about here is talking about something different. Some things that oppose us are self-generated. Right? The thing that prevented them from moving forward. At this point, they had Tobias and they had Sanballat and they had guests from the Arab that were spitting out threats. We're going to kill you and we're going to come and attack you. Okay, but this wasn't an external threat that prevented them from rebuilding. Here's an internal threat that prevented them from rebuilding. This was a self-inflicted wound. They allowed the garbage to accumulate. And I want you to understand, it accumulated within the city of Jerusalem. That means that there's things in our lives that prevent us from becoming the better version of ourselves. We have a trash problem. Right? Now, according to a Duke University study, the average American produces 4.3 pounds of trash and waste per day. That's a lot per day. And that's an increase of 1.6 pounds over the average American in 1960. So we're producing more garbage than ever. Right? And the problem with waste, the problem with trash, is that it's normal. And because it's normal, we tend to get used to it. Ever seen the Febreze commercial? For odors that you become nose blind to? You seen that? That your house stinks? It smells like a giant, you know, dirty dog. You don't smell it because you live in there, but your neighbors come in and pow! Why? Pow! Because you're living in it. And when you live in it, you get used to it. It doesn't stink as bad. Have you ever gone into your house and you forgot to take the garbage out? I mean, listen, sometimes it's just powerful scent. But sometimes I walk into my house, you know, from an afternoon after, you know, coming home from church, I'll go in. And if I'm the first one, something doesn't smell right, let me go take out the garbage. And usually the two culprits are the garbage that's been taken out or the garbage disposal hasn't been turned on, right? So sometimes it's just a mild scent, but it's just enough to irritate the senses that you know there's a problem. But sometimes, I remember this years ago, my family and I, we left town for like 2 days, 3 days. And we turn the AC all the way up so we're not, so we're conserving energy. And then we came back and we opened the door and pow! It was my wife's fault. She didn't take out the garbage. Of course, she's convinced it was my fault because I didn't take out the garbage. So we began the finger pointing. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. Let's just get rid of the garbage, please. Okay, let's get rid of the garbage. But see, what happens is that may be something that happens as an impact and an isolated incident. But oftentimes what happens is that we get used to the garbage in our lives. It no longer stinks for us. Other people see it and it stinks for them, but it doesn't stink for us. Right? I used to work in a lab when my wife and I were first married in New Jersey, Secaucus, New Jersey. Dr. Secaucus, as a Cuban would say, Secaucus. I used to work in a place called Dr. Mattis Labs. It was a chemical factory. And the scents and the smells that came from there were putrid. It took me like 2 weeks to get used to it. I mean, some of those smells, I mean, these were strong chemical odors. It wasn't like toxic stuff. It was just botanical stuff that stung bad. It took me like 2 weeks to get used to it. And after a while, you get used to the smell. But it was like the smell gets into your pores. And it gets into your clothes. And then when you get home after work, you don't smell it anymore. How are you, my darling? Give me a kiss. Get away from me! Go into the shower. Take off your clothes. You stink. Okay, because the smell was on me, but I had become nose blind to it, like Febreze. See, and that's the problem with trash. We get nose blinded by the trash in our lives. We live our lives like everything was completely normal. Other people see it. They say, that's not normal. Your house stinks. You got a trash problem. But we don't see it, right? We don't see it. So, when you and I are committed to transformation, you got to deal with what's inside the city. You got to deal with what's inside your heart. Because you will not make any progress. You will not continue to rebuild until you get rid of the stuff that reeks. Until you get rid of the stuff that's preventing you from growing any further. And sometimes these are things that you're aware of, but you just got used to it, right? And what happens is that other people smell it, and as they smell it, they see an inconsistency. Let's talk real practically. In your life, in my life, as believers, they see inconsistencies in our lives. That what we say and how we say that we love God and how we say that we believe in Christ is not always compatible or consistent with the way that we act. So we say, worship service was great. You know, the message was outstanding. I love my church with one breath, and in the next breath, we're cussing out a brother. We're cussing out a sister. Okay, we're getting into fist fights. I mean, we're becoming offensive. We're becoming profane and all these things. And all of a sudden, we don't see it because we become nose blind to it. But that's trash in your life that you got to get rid of if you want to grow, if you want to become the better version of yourself. You missed a good part for an amen. Amen. No. Because if I have to ask for the amen, it's not worth it. Okay, no. If I have to ask for it, you got to be on your toes. You need to know when to interject the proper amen at the proper time, right? Okay, so no. So if I have to ask for it, but see, it's so true though, right? It's so true that we have to get rid of it because these inconsistencies will become our demise. And the reason it becomes our demise is because our families will see us as inconsistent. Our co-workers will see us as inconsistent. Now, inconsistent is just a politically correct way of saying, I didn't say you did, because you know I'm very PC. But that's absolutely right. That's another way for saying hypocrisy, right? Hypocrisy. There's inconsistency. And now notice in Nehemiah's story. In Nehemiah's story, the trash became a source of discouragement. In other words, the people were weakened, right? It says there that they were losing their strength. And what does that mean, that you lose your strength? That means that they felt weak, they felt uninspired, they felt unmotivated. What they originally intended to do, all of a sudden, was prevented from being done. And so they began to lose faith. They began to lose the enthusiasm to labor in God's field. Why? Because of the trash problem. Because the trash got to them. And that's what trash does. Trash, you may get used to it, but you don't understand what it's actually doing to you. You don't understand the bacteria brewing in your house behind those smells. You don't understand the germs that are multiplying in your house because of the trash that you have. And you don't understand how it's wreaking havoc on your health. Well, the same thing took place here. It's wreaking havoc on their faith, and they're beginning to lose faith. And not only are they beginning to lose faith, the people around them begin to lose faith. The people around them that are supposed to be brought to faith all of a sudden see the inconsistency. No, I don't see that what you have has any more value than what I have. Because you say one thing, but you do something completely contrary to what you're saying. Now, this is all an issue that we all deal with, right? We all struggle with these issues. I'm not saying, rise to perfection. But I'm saying is that let God change that so that you become a better version of yourself, so that you eliminate some of the inconsistencies, right? I read the story of a young boy named Carl. Carl grew up in a Jewish home. His father's name was Herschel. They grew up inside Germany many years ago. Herschel, the father, was a rabbi. In fact, he was a rabbi from a long line of rabbis on both sides of the family. So the tradition, the Jewish tradition, was very strong within Carl's family. Right? And he would love to see all the books that the father had access to in his library, but the book that he most loved was the Torah. The Torah was the Jewish or the Hebrew law. And Carl loved that. And Carl admired, all the rich traditions. And he admired his dad, right? And he wanted to pattern his life after his dad. And during his teen years, however, the family moved from one German town. They moved to a different German town. And in that town, the father was going to begin his law practice there. At the same time, perhaps begin a synagogue. There was no synagogue whatsoever in that town, right? And what they noticed right away as they were moving there is that there was a little bit of anti-Semitic sentiment within their community. They knew that not everybody there liked Jews or loved Jews, but still it wasn't a big issue early on. And one of the things that they picked up on is just like the city that they left, where the synagogue was the center of that community, they realized that the center of the community that they moved to was a small Lutheran church. Most of the people there were Lutheran, right? One evening, as they were having dinner, the whole family together, Carl, his father, Herschel, made a shocking announcement. He told his family, as a matter, very matter of fact, he says, "We're going to abandon our Jewish tradition and we are going to convert to Lutheranism. And we're all going to be baptized." Now, normally, you and I as believers, we're thinking, praise God. A Jewish person has found the Messiah. We love Jewish people. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We understand that they need to have an encounter with the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Normally, that would be a cause for celebration. But it wasn't necessarily a cause for celebration, because the father continued. He said, "We're doing this because it's good for business. We're converting not because I have a conviction that this is the right way, but rather because it's good for business. In fact, I'm changing my name from Herschel to Heinrich because it's good for business." So now you can imagine the feeling of the mom and the feeling of the other kids and the feeling of Carl. He was shocked. He was confused. How is it that everything that we said was of absolute importance now is no longer important to us? Simply because dad wants to keep a job. And so his disappointment at first turned into anger. And that anger became an intense bitterness toward the father that plagued Carl for the rest of his life. Now, fast forward a few years after that, when Carl reached the age of 19, he got a chance to study at a college in England. So he moves to England. And while he's in England, he's touring different places. He goes to a British museum and he begins to formulate his philosophies of life. And not only formulate his philosophy of life, he began to write a book that changed the world. And the book that he wrote was called The Communist Manifesto. And the boy's name is none other than Karl Marx. A young man that was so offended by the inconsistency of his dad that he wrote, okay, a treatise, a philosophical book on communism, on Marxism, that has condemned literally billions of people into an eternity without God. Now, we know Marxism has kind of been on the decline, but still, you cannot deny the adverse effect that the hypocrisy and the inconsistency of one man had on a young boy who became disillusioned and confused and angry and all of a sudden became an atheist. And he wrote in that book, religion is the opiate of the masses. And you may not know the story, as the great commentator would say, now you know the rest of the story, how it actually came into being. Because what? Because one man wouldn't take out his trash. There's an inconsistency when we proclaim the name of Christ but continue to have trash in our house. Right? It's like showering frequently. I'm one of the cleanest person. I take 3 showers a day. Yeah, but what good is taking 3 showers a day if you put on the same smelly underwear and the clothes that you had before you took a shower? Nobody does that. Nobody does that. It's so inconsistent to think that, but that's the inconsistency of having trash in your house. It's like being the most impeccably dressed. It's like being, you know, when we were in high school, they would give out prizes to kids like, you know, the most likely to succeed, the best looking, the Venus and the Adonis. And one category was the best dressed. He's the best dressed. She's the best dressed. What good is it if you're impeccably dressed and that you are the best dressed person, but then when people walk into your house, you got cockroaches all over the pots and the pans, and you got food that's baking, that's caked on there from 5 days ago, and you got the garbage that you haven't taken out for a week, and the place stinks and the place reeks. Don't you see the inconsistency in being so greatly dressed on the outside, but having all this junk and all this trash growing in your house? So trash becomes something that's very discouraging. Now, some of you are thinking right now, and I know you, I can see you, your wheels are turning. Okay, what are you talking about, Pastor? You're talking to us kind of metaphorically, take out the trash. Okay, what exactly does that mean? Trash and rubble are things in your life that prevent you from becoming the better version of you. They are negative attitudes, bad attitudes, arrogant attitudes, elitist attitudes. Maybe it deals with a past hurt. Maybe you're dealing with this anger because of a past hurt. Okay, you can't escape, Maureen. $50. She ran out. She can run, but she can't hide. Give her an envelope. $50 fine. Okay, for that phone ringing. I heard it. Okay, so what I'm talking about is that these are things that affect us from growing. They affect us from moving forward. Maybe it's an uncontrolled temper. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a destructive habit. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe there's an indifference. What are we talking about? Things in your life that don't belong in there. Trash that you got to take out, but that you've gotten used to. Why? Because you compare yourself to all the other people that have an equal amount of trash in their lives. And after a while, you get used to it. Now, we know that the trash must be taken out. I'm going to share with you one scripture. We'll get ready to close with this. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Write this down. Hebrews chapter 12. See, removing trash is probably the most difficult part of becoming a new, improved version of yourself. But it's absolutely essential if you want to live a blessed life, right? You want the Lord to bless you. You want the Lord to favor you. You want the Lord to answer your prayer. You want the Lord to come through for you. You got to get rid of the junk. We've always believed that. The Bible's always taught that. Nothing's ever changed, right? And so look what it says in Hebrews 12. I think this scripture is going to enlighten a lot of you. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, what is he talking about? We're surrounded. Well, the Bible says that as we walk in this Christian life, there are people that are watching us in the heavenlies. And maybe spirit beings, and maybe angelic beings, but in a way, we're like in a stadium. And in that stadium is composed by thousands of fans. Well, in the same way, it says heaven is like a stadium where you have millions of celestial beings. Maybe your own family members are there, and they're watching you as you live down here. How you live out your faith, witnesses to the life of faith. It says, so here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying, knowing that we got people watching us. Knowing that we got people rooting for us. Knowing that we got people, okay, observing how we're running this race. He goes, let's strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And he says, and we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. He's saying, you want to run, but you want to run well. And part of running well, Hebrews author saying the same thing that was kind of mentioned in Nehemiah, the verse that we're talking, you got to get rid of the trash. And he says, you got to get rid of two things. You got to get rid of the things that weigh you down, and you got to get rid of the sin that deceives you and that will absolutely entrap you and make you fall flat on your face and never cross the finish line in that race. Right? And so now, think about it this way. So you're a runner. I have yet to see a runner running with a backpack. I've never seen any runners with backpacks, right? They don't run with backpacks. They don't run with hiking boots. They don't run with heavy garments. What do? They strip down all the way. They have these shoes that barely weigh, you know, just their weighs in ounces. Okay, they got these tiny little shorts and they got this little tank top. Everything to make them more streamlined. If they're really hairy like me, they even shave their hair. To become more, okay, less resistant to the wind and more aerodynamic. Yes, I kid you not. What are they doing? They're getting rid of every potential encumbrance to them running well and competing well. And now you bring that same principle to us. It ties in beautifully with the scripture in Nehemiah. There's junk in your life. There's trash in your life. There are things that hold you down. There are things that will condemn your soul. You got to get rid of those two things. Remove the weights and the sins that will entrap you, that will ensnare you, that will weaken you, that prevent God's blessing from falling, you know, from flowing into your life. Now listen, we live in a great country. And the fact that we live in a great country, we become recipients of God's general blessings. That means all of us are blessed just by the fact that we're born here. Yes or no? You missed a good part for an amen. So that means we all benefit from God's blessings very generally. We get food to eat. We have jobs. We have air that we can breathe. We wake up in the morning. Those are general blessings, but that's not what I'm talking about. Because whether you're a believer or you're not a believer, you still benefit from those blessings. Right? What I'm talking about is specific blessings. Seeing God answer your prayer. Okay. Seeing people that you love come to Christ. Seeing co-workers all of a sudden surrender their lives to the Lord because the way you spoke to them was consistent with the way that you lived. And how does that come about? That comes about when you refuse to hang on to the trash in your life and say, it's not worth it. I am not going to spread a dual message. So put away that double life. Put away that life of lack of commitment. Put away that anger, that unforgiveness, that jealousy, that rage. Put all those things away. How do you do that? Three simple things. Number one, it begins with confessing your sins to the Lord. It says it right there, 1 John 1:9. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It says that afterward. But it says, if any man sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boom! There you just made one great move. You do that and you just took a bulldozer to your trash pile and you removed a great big heap of your trash pile just came out the moment you did that. You confess your sins to the Lord and he forgave you. Some of you need to do that with your life. Some of you are here today and Jesus is nothing more than a person that you've heard about, but that you've never surrendered your life to. It begins by you confessing your sins to the Lord and number two, accepting him as your Savior. Lord, you came to get rid of the junk in my life. I got a lot of junk. We all have a lot of junk. Nobody here is junkless. Right? But here's the thing. When we surrender to the Lord, he forgives us of our sins and he helps us to deal with the issues that become hindrances to our lives. And here's the third thing that you do. The third thing is that you ask him to help you remove those tendencies to cover up the trash, to live with the trash. You ask him to help you absolutely get rid of all the things that you've become nose blind to. Make sense? So you want to be blessed? You want to develop the best version of yourself? You want to upgrade from version 1.0 to 2.0? You got to get rid of the trash. Let me pray with you guys. I'm going to ask you all to stand. Would you stand with me? Lord, we thank you that your word teaches us such important truths. Truths that, Lord, we would overlook, truths that we try to live with. And Lord, I guess one of the most important truths is that, Lord, there are things sometimes in our lives that we just justify, that we get used to, that we compare ourselves to other people and we think they have junk, we have junk, everybody's got junk, and it's okay. There is no real movement to try to get rid of the things that might be offensive to you. So today I pray that you would help us, Lord, to do some house cleaning. Help us to remove the things in our lives like the weights, the hindrances, and the sins that hold us back. Lord, that may be a lot of things for a lot of people. It might be that we've never accepted you as our Savior. It may be that we've walked away from you and we need to return to you. It might be that there's something in our lives that we've cherished, that we've hung on to, an illicit relationship, looking at things online that we shouldn't be looking at. Maybe the way that we talk to people. Maybe that, Lord, we're just dishonest in our business and maybe we mistreat our employees. Whatever the case might be, Lord, you're able to help us go through a system upgrade. You're able to help us become a better version of ourselves, which really is Christ's version of ourselves. So I pray today, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to not be like the commercial, not to be nose blind. To the things in our life that stink and that are offensive to others. Let me ask you to do something for me, friends, church. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. Maybe you're here today and you do not know the Lord as your Savior. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you've never crossed the line where you said, Lord, forgive me of my sins and come into my life, make me a new person, make me a different person. If you're like that today, I would like to lead you in a simple prayer, a prayer that will help you get your heart right with the Lord, walk out of here a completely brand new person. But I want you to make one very bold and brave move, a move that requires a lot of courage. I want you just to step out of the seat that you're in and just meet me up here. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's not going to take more than a minute to lead you in that prayer. But if you see yourself today as a person that you have a need for Jesus to save you, you have a need for your sins to be forgiven, and you've never done it before, I invite you to make that bold move. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for the rest of us then, as we go our separate ways. May we, every single time, here's the blessing. Here's a blessing I'm putting upon you. May every single time I take the garbage out of my house, out of my bathroom, out of my kitchen, may I be reminded that I also have to take the trash out of my life. From this moment on, that truth is going to forever stay with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.